They sang that just for me, didn't they? When I die, that little caterpillar dissolves completely, and then he flies away. Hallelujah. You going to pray for me?
Absolutely. Do you know that they celebrated their 50th anniversary this weekend?
Thank you all for coming.
Father, thank you so much for this time that we've had together. Thank you for Larry. Thank you for his gift of teaching and telling stories that make sense and help us to understand your word even better. We're grateful for him, for Lois, and for their kids, their family. Father, it's great to see a family that has continued to love you over a lifetime, and for the great example Larry and Lois have been to their family. And they've been an example to us as well. So we pray that you'll bless this last session we have together. Thank you for this wonderful weekend of great weather and all the things that we've learned and been able to spend time together. So I pray your blessing on Larry today.
Amen.
For praise in Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Tom. Anybody here know the origin of Labor Day? That's right. Way to go. And what was the demonstration about?
It was about workers' rights and labor union. And then there was, I think, 2 or 3 years later, there was another demonstration in Chicago, the Pullman Company.
Yeah. That's outstanding. But you're wrong. I mean, that's what everybody thinks Labor Day began, all right? And then later in 1892, I believe it was, it got so popular that Congress made it a national holiday. But that's not the first Labor Day celebration. I believe the first Labor Day celebration goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. For God labored for 6 days, and he saw that his labors were good. And on the seventh day, he set that aside to celebrate and to rest. So as you're thinking about Labor Day, think about God's Labor Day, the day that he celebrated that his labors were good. And through all of that, we have been blessed. Well, this weekend has been a blessing for us, but it's had its good moments. That is, we had a celebration of our 50th wedding anniversary. We had a couple of cakes and a sweet time around with our family that was here, and that was really nice. But it's had some real sad times, too. It appears that that we have lost one of our grandsons. In other words, he's not going home with us. He informed us that there were staff cabins over here and that he was going to stay and just join the staff up here. And one of our other grandsons informed us that he was really disappointed that we came to this particular camp because it was only 3 days long. And he saw that they had other family camps that lasted a whole week. So why did we come to this one? Well, let's take a moment to see what you remember, what you're taking away from coffee makers, first of all. What do you remember? That was 2 days ago. Anybody remember anything at all about the coffee makers? I see a hand there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hey, there's an adult. All right. Stand up. What do you remember? This is good.
Plug it in.
Plug it in. Listen, that's important because it ain't working unless you're plugged in. And Jesus said to each of us, unless you abide in me and I abide in you, you're not doing much work, all right? In other words, you can't do anything at all. I saw another adult back there. Yes, what do you remember? You take out that old and you have to put in the new. You know, some of those K-cups, they can get pretty nasty sitting in there, especially if you haven't had coffee for a couple of days. That doesn't happen at our house, but you got to take out the old if you're going to put in the new. Were there any other adults that there's another one, yes.
Fill it with water.
You got to fill it with water. You know, when Jesus was at the well, Jacob's well, a Samaritan woman came, and he asked her for some water. And there was a discussion there, and he said to her, if you ask me for water, I'll give you living water that you'll never thirst again. Unless you're filled with that living water, we continue to hunger and thirst without ever being satisfied. But he gives us, fills us up with the living water that can satisfy our lives completely and totally. One more. Any other adults? Yes. I'm so glad you were listening. Wait and be patient. You know, we live in an instant society. We live in a society that wants things right now. We ask God, and if it doesn't happen right now, we are somehow thinking that he's not hearing us or he doesn't care about us, but he does. And he calls us to be patient and to wait upon him. Thank you for listening. Now, what do you remember about yesterday, about monarch butterflies? Anybody? Yes, sir. That little bitty caterpillar from the day they were born? They just eat. Like we've been doing the last few days, right? They just eat. And that song we just sang, I loved it, you know. When I die, that little caterpillar literally dissolves, and then I'll fly away. Yes, sir. Oh, it happens to me all the time. I walk into a room and I don't know what I'm here after because I forgot completely. I understand. Yes, sir.
When it comes out of the chrysalis, its wings literally inflate.
When it comes out of the chrysalis, its wings literally inflate. They have to be pumped full of fluid. And you know, if you were to help a monarch butterfly out of that chrysalis by opening it up, you know, so it was easier for it to come out. Its heart would not be beating rapidly enough to fill those wings, and it would be deformed for life. You realize sometimes when we go through struggles, God has that same kind of purpose in mind for us, so that we might be full, so that we might be full of him, that he might stress us, not to hurt us, but to build us up in him so that we can fly away. Yes? The egg is not very big, is it? The egg is tiny, and a caterpillar will increase and grow in size perhaps 100, 200 fold. You know, God calls us to grow as well. When we feed on his word, we mature and grow many, many times over. One more. Yes, sir.
They go to a place that they've never gone before.
They go to a place that they have never gone before. Even as the song said here, we're going to a place we've never been before, but it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. Well, this morning we'll change focus a little bit, again looking at God's creation and what we can learn from all of that. But let me ask a question. How many of you really prefer the artificial pancake syrup that has corn syrup in it? How many of you really prefer that? Yeah, there are some. There are some. How many of the rest of you would prefer real, honest-to-goodness maple syrup? Yes, it is good. It is good. And I'm confident that when God created all of this and he said it was good, it was very good, he was talking about maple syrup. There are several things I want to share with you this morning, five to be exact. I want you to know that the sweetness of maple syrup is powered by the sun. The sweetness, that is the carbohydrates, that is made, makes things sweet, is all powered by the sun. Secondly, it is contrast, particularly contrast between hot and cold, that pumps that sweetness upwards into the tree. Number three, it is maturity and growth that produces the greatest sweetness of all. The fourth one, it is wounds, wounded trees. May I even say wounded lives that release the sweetness for others to taste. And finally, this morning, we'll look at the refining fire that concentrates and purifies that sweetness. Now, when I say that sweetness is powered by the sun, I'm also saying that the sweetness that you experience in your life is also powered by the sun, S-O-N, versus S-U-N. You realize each spring, when the days warm up and the leaves unfold from the buds on a tree, it's sunlight. It's sunlight that powers the chlorophyll that actually produces the sugar. It takes CO2, carbon dioxide, from the air. It takes water from the roots, bring those together in those little leaves, and in the cells of those leaves that are literally power plants that take that CO2 and the H2O, and they form a hydrocarbon chain, a carbohydrate, which is the sugar. It is the sun that powers that chemical reaction. In the fall, that chlorophyll dies. There are a number of chloroplasts in leaves. Some of those are green. That's the chlorophyll. But there are other chloroplasts that are different colors. And in the fall, when the chloroplast dies, and it's a phototropic effect that when the daylight, the hours of daylight reach a certain point, that chlorophyll can't be sustained any longer by the power of the sun, and that green fades away. And when the green fades away, it reveals the colors of all of the other chloroplasts that are in the leaf, and that's where we get all of our beautiful colors. Also in the fall, the sugar that has been produced in the tree, and it is its fuel for growth, begins to flow down the tree. It is stored in the roots of the tree underground. When you think about it, God's incredible design deals with everything. Not only the making of the maple syrup, the making of that sugar that's there, but the storage of it over the winter where it's protected and kept. Now, the power does come from the sun, and I would encourage you to search the Scriptures, for the Scriptures reveal that indeed the power to forgive, the power to be clothed with His righteousness, and the power to be perfected in our weaknesses all comes from the sun. Secondly, it is contrast that pumps the sweetness upwards. In the spring, as we start getting days that are above freezing and days that are below freezing, the contrast of the warmth and the cold begins to produce a pumping action, starts in the roots, works its way up the tree, and it begins to pump the sugars that are stored in those roots all the way up to the top of the tree. Now, in His design, He has removed all of that liquid from the tree above ground where it could freeze and cause frost cracks in the tree. But when you look at maple trees and other trees during the winter, they are pretty much perfectly dry on the inside of that tree so that frost doesn't form, crack the tree wide open. It's the contrasting temperature that produces that pumping action that lifts that syrup, that sap up the tree. And I'm going to suggest to you this morning that it is the joy that comes from the sun and the contrast with the groaning of this world that motivates us to share God's sweet love and lifts us up as well. I think of Revelations chapter 3, when Jesus spoke to the church at Laodicea, and he said, I would that you were either hot or cold. Contrast, as opposed to being lukewarm. I spew you out of my mouth. Dear friends, this morning I would ask you, how much contrast is there between your life and the lives of those who are in the world? Is there a distinction between the way you live, the way you talk to one another? Is there a distinction between the way you love one another and the way the world is living today? Without a contrast, I'm suggesting that the sweetness doesn't flow. But when there is that contrast, the sap begins to move up the tree, and as it flows up the tree, it becomes the starter fuel for all of the leaves. It literally inflates those leaves like the fluids in the monarch butterfly inflate its wings. It is the pressure, the pumping pressure, that pops the buds out in the spring and allows the leaves to unfold. Power comes from the sun. The lifting power comes from the contrast. The third thing I would share this morning is that the maturity is what produces a fourfold sweetness. We don't tap trees under 40 years of age. We don't tap trees anything under about a foot in diameter. There's a couple of reasons for that. We can't take the sap away from them. They need that in order to grow, and the sap is not all that sweet anyway. We tap only those trees that are bigger than 12 inches in diameter and over the age of 40. Some of the sugar would be as low as 1%, but you get a good maple tree that's mature and old, and the sap can be as much as 4% sugar. When you tap a maple grove, when you take a little bit of the sap and actually put some stress on the tree, it actually improves the growth of the stand of maples. By taking a little bit, it stimulates the growth. Now I'm thinking about mature believers and what Scripture has to say for us. The older we are and the more mature we are, the more sweetness we have to share. I think of these scripture references in 1 Timothy. It talks about elders in the church, those who have been prepared and equipped, those who are mature to share the sweetness with those around them. Number four, it takes wounds to release the sweetness. Without wounding the tree, we have no access to the sap. We drill a 7/16 hole in the tree, 2 to 3 inches, through the bark, through the cambium layer, through the xylem, through the phloem. And as we drill that hole, as we wound the tree, it literally begins to bleed, and the sap pours out. A single tap from a maple tree can yield up to 40 gallons of sap. And on a good day, when it's cold at night and warm in the day and there's a big contrast, it'll be dripping about like drip, 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 and it fills our buckets pretty quickly. That's why we don't take too much from any one tree. And even the sap tastes good. On a cold day out there, when you're working hard, we actually drink the sap right out of the buckets. Some even are known to lick the spiles as we put them in there, as the sap comes out. We take and we tap those spiles, a metal cone shape, into the tree. It collects the sap, put a bucket underneath it as it drips into it. And it's good. It's very good. But you simply can't enjoy the sweetness without wounding the tree. The sweetness flows from open wounds. I think of Isaiah 53, where the Lord said it was by his stripes that we are healed. I think of Hebrews chapter 9, where it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And I think for you and me, what flows out of you when you are wounded? When you're offended, what comes out? When you wound a maple tree, it's sweetness that comes out. And my prayer for you this morning is that when you are wounded, when you are offended, when you are hurt, that sweetness from your maturity in Christ, that is powered by the Son, would flow out for others to experience. For without the wounding, the sweetness doesn't flow. And finally, it's a refining fire that concentrates and purifies the sweetness. On average, we collect about 40 gallons of sap for every gallon of syrup that we produce. Now, if there wasn't as much sugar to start with, it would be even more that we would have to boil. And in some trees where there's a lot of sugar, you don't have to remove nearly as much of the tasteless water in order to create the syrup. But for us, it's about 40 to 1. Takes about 5 gallons of sap, that's 5 bucketfuls, to make 1 pint of syrup. Maybe you can understand why it costs so much. Now, we remove that tasteless water by boiling it with a wood fire. But some use a thing called reverse osmosis. But whatever you use, you've got to take the concentration of the sugar you've got, and you've got to get it all the way up to 67% sugar. That's when it turns to be syrup. Now, the heat sterilizes it. The heat also creates a wonderful caramel taste. Now, when they grade maple syrup, there is the finest grade, which is called light amber. You can almost completely see through it. It's very light. But I don't like it because it just tastes like sugar water. I like the stuff that's nice and dark and thick, and you can't see through it, because it's got all the taste and the caramelization of having been cooked for a while, and you even get some of the wood smoke in it all, and that's the stuff that's really good on pancakes, and that's the stuff that we make. Now, I was hoping that I could bring some maple syrup this morning for all of you to try, but it was a bad year for us. We only got 6 gallons of syrup. It got warm too quickly. We lost that contrast between the hot and the cold. The sap started flowing or stopped flowing. The buds popped out sooner than we anticipated. And as we're looking at that 6 gallons of syrup, we're thinking, we can eat all of that. So we just didn't have any more to go around. But when you get it to be syrup, when you get it to be just right, when you hit that 67% sugar content, when it becomes maple syrup, there's two things that happen. One, it doesn't crystallize. And two, it doesn't mold. If you get it beyond the 67% and you've got it too concentrated, it'll crystallize out in the bottle and you'll see these sugar crystals forming. If you don't get it to 67%, then it will mold on you. Now, if you do have some maple syrup that's molded, just scrape off the mold, heat it up again, because you can reuse it, boil it again, and it'll be almost as good as new. Certainly, you don't want to throw it away. Now, the way we tell that we've got it just right, there's two ways. One, we use a thermometer. Because when syrup reaches 67% sugar, it will boil 7 degrees higher than the boiling point of water. So we take this thermometer, we boil water to find out what the boiling point is for that particular day, and it does change from day to day. We can then determine what 7 degrees above boiling point is, and when we reach that, we know that we've got syrup. The other thing is we use a little floaty-deely. That's a technical term. I mean, it's also called a hydrometer, but it is made to float at a particular density, the density of when the syrup is the 67%. And when it floats right to the red line, you know you've got it. Then you can bottle it, and you know it's good. It's interesting that bees do the same thing with honey. Honey also has to be 67% sugar. Now, they don't use thermometers. They don't use thermometers. They don't use hydrometers. They just taste it, and they know when it's right. And you know that honey can last a long time. It doesn't crystallize. Well, sometimes it does, but you can heat it up and use it again. Because when it's right, it's right. And I'm thinking about you and me and how it applies to us and what we can learn. The Scriptures tells us back in Isaiah, Isaiah writes, "Behold, I have refined you as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." And I'm convinced that sometimes God allows that furnace of affliction in our lives to drive away, to drive out the tastelessness, the tasteless water that doesn't belong there, so that we can be refined and perfected so that we don't mold in this moldy world. And as we bottle our syrup, we know that we can sell it with confidence because it is right. The sweetness is powered by the sun. The contrast pumps the sweetness upwards. Maturity produces a fourfold sweetness. Wounds release the sweetness for others to taste. And it's the refining fire that concentrates and purifies the sweetness. So the next time you pour syrup on your pancakes, it's my prayer that you'll remember where it comes from and what it reveals about God's Word in our lives. That you too might be powered by the sun. That you too might live a life of contrast, a light in the midst of this dark world. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." You don't take a candle and put it under a bushel, but you put it up where all can see. And my prayer for you is that the contrast, the light that you have in this darkness, might be seen, and that others might be drawn to Christ through you. My prayer is that as you mature and as sweetness builds up within you, that even the wounds, the offenses, and the hard times, the hard knocks of this life would simply open up the sweetness within you so that it might flow out for others to experience. My prayer for each of you is that the refining fire of the Lord Jesus work in our lives, that even as we would suffer with Him, that refining fire would drive out the tastelessness that is there, so that we might be complete, so that we might be perfect before Him, and that it might be to the praise of His glory. Thank you for letting me share these things, and I pray that as you go home, the stories and the lessons might give you parents vocabulary and words and experiences and things to remember to talk to your kids. Because the next time something's not working in your life, remember to get plugged in. Next time things get boring for you, remember that there's more coming. And above all, my prayer for you is that sweetness would flow from you and bring glory to God. Lord, I ask you to mark these things in our hearts. I ask your Holy Spirit to interpret them and apply them in our lives wherever we are, that we might be doers and not hearers only. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.